Thee have a testimony? Because you're here today? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on up, Luann.
Most of you know that there have been a couple people in my life that have had some physical difficulties. My nephew, his partner, has had some heart issues while being pregnant. They delivered a healthy baby girl, 3 pounds, 3 ounces at 30 weeks, and she's doing great. Her mama had her heart surgery Friday. It was a little more involved than they thought, but it didn't cause a problem. And they had her off the ventilator and sitting up Friday night. And they think she'll go home on Friday. So mom and baby are safe. And my sister's brother-in-law that we've been praying for a couple weeks ago, we did not think he was going to make it. But he is off the ventilator, sitting up and talking, and doing good. So he's got a long rehab ahead of him, but he's with us. So God has preserved their lives for some purpose. So we're happy to see that. Thanks.
Anybody else? Yay! That's about standing, doing all to stand. You stand. Right, Judy? Yes. All right. Anyone else? Okay.
The prophetic message reminded me of a verse, Psalm 139:12. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. Whoop, I lost it. That's what I get for touching it. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you.
Some of the ladies here have been praying for me with my eyes because they've been so itchy, just burning and itching. I went to the eye doctor this past week. I got new glasses coming. I'm so excited. But he gave me eye drops that have an antihistamine in it, like two times a day. And like the first day, it's gone. I mean, I still am using it, but it's so nice to not have itchy eyes.
Amen. I'm going to share a testimony for Mary's friend who got hurt, and they had some troubles during COVID, lost their jobs. She, I don't know how she did it, but she broke her wrist. She fell. Yeah, a real bad thing. And I talked to her a couple days ago, and she is going to physical therapy now and hoping to be back to work in another 6 weeks or so. So that's awesome. And I just thought it was great. So I just had to share that. I don't know how many of you know about that. So, anybody else? Come on up. Don't be shy.
I know that word. I don't know what it means. But money used to be something that me and Dakota used to worry about very frequently. But we're blessed enough with his job that even without me working an actual job, that I wouldn't even need to work right now. And he has blessed us with a financial freedom and security. So that's pretty amazing.
Takes care of all our needs according to his riches and glory. Okay. There was someone else back there. No. Katie, yeah, come on up, Kate.
Last week I shared about all the dental issues that I had. And when I went back Monday to have the stitch taken out, I still was having a lot of pain through my ear and down. And the doctor looked at me and said, Katie, that's not an earache. You have TMJ. You need to go see a specialist. And Wednesday we prayed because I said I've had enough. I don't need to go do more stuff. And they prayed over me. And I have not had any pain since. So I need to declare that healing. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Katie. That's awesome. That is awesome. Yep.
I should give this work. It wasn't on too long.
Time.
Yeah. Matthew 24 talks about pestilences, and they come, and that's what this
world's been full of here lately, a pestilence. But my mother, 92, they give her a diagnosis of this pestilence. And in the world, that would mean death, wouldn't it? But God, we serve a higher God. And I've learned over the years that we can walk in that. We can walk that out in our lives. We can walk in that, and I'm going to shake you, a little divine health. And my mother, I've watched her grow into that through the years. And just feeding her the word as she stayed in our house. I watched her overcome this and walk right through it. And it couldn't stay. It couldn't come near our dwelling. And God said to his children, I'll not put those diseases on you that were put on the Egyptians. And it's just a wonderful thing to see her just rise above that. Be encouraged. That cannot overcome you. That cannot overcome you.
You better.
Wednesday night, I also got prayer for my jaw. It was going out or something. It was weird. I'm sorry. It was going out or something. I would chew and then all of a sudden it would go, and it would really hurt. The next day it was still the same. But it has been gone since the day after we prayed. So I just want to thank the Lord for healing. Sometimes he touches us instantly, and sometimes it takes a little time. So keep persevering.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? This is awesome. All right. Well, so I should, I guess, we have these ladies who shared their story about Wednesday and getting healed from a jaw thing. So some of you already know this, but I'm just going to share this real quick. About 6 years ago, my jaw started hurting so bad that I made Mike take me to the emergency room so they could give me something stronger than Tylenol or whatever we had at the house. And they said, can we look in your mouth? And I said, you could try. But I couldn't open my mouth. And I went to the dentist on Monday, and I could open my mouth 2 millimeters. And they're like, oh, okay. And this is all related to TMJ, which I have never received. I've never taken that. My jaw used to crack and get out of whack, like Denise said. Well, anyway, long story short, I obviously can open my mouth again. And it doesn't hurt. And it doesn't make any of those nasty noises. And it just, you know, God is good. And, you know, and when we come to him, he says that he will heal us. And, you know, hallelujah, you ladies got healed. That's just awesome. I'm excited about that. So with that in mind also, so you're welcome all to come to Wednesday night prayer meeting, 7 o'clock on Wednesday. It usually runs to late 30. You don't have to stay the whole time. Not everybody does, so you're free to come and go. Men's Bible study is on Monday from 6 to 8 here at the church, and they are studying Ephesians right now. Additionally, if anyone is interested in church membership, please see Pastor Dave by when? 2 weeks? Next week? Okay, soon, so that we can start, they can do a new members class, so it can be announced, and we can have you all join us, so you can learn about membership and being in partnership and in covenant with the people of the church, so covenant partnership is awesome. All right, so I think that's it.
All right, thank you. There was one other announcement on those slides I wanted to mention. Ministry reports, Shay, due by March 21st, and I'm assuming that you know who you are. I'm assuming you know who you are. All right. Amen. Thank you.
Also, Pastor David,
No. Yes. So, if you're like me and you enjoy a moment of embarrassment and you like showing up to church an hour early or an hour late, I have done that. And there will be people around who will see you come in and they will smile. I've had it happen. I met Judy Riley one year and I promptly ran an hour early and Judy looked at me and said, "You forgot, didn't you?" Yes, I did. Today we're going to celebrate communion. I use that word lightly because it's hard to think of Jesus' death as a celebration. I remember being one place and the question was asked, who's excited that Jesus died for your sins? And everybody was like, yeah! And the person said, I'm not. I'm not happy that Jesus had to die for my sins. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. So in that way, a heart of thankfulness that we're going to receive today. And there is joy in that because we get a restored relationship with God. So we have communion today, and if you are here and you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we have what we call open communion. There is a requirement. You need to know Jesus. If you have invited him to be your Lord and Savior, you've surrendered your life, you've turned from that old life, and you know him, then you are invited to join with us in communion today. Devin and Ed, could I ask you to come and move the table out, please? And today I'm going to invite you to come. And we'll come up. We do, thanks to Judy, we have some options today. Thank you guys, that's perfect. We have a gluten-free option. And we don't know how many of you I am. I know there's a few people that have trouble with wheat products. If you're like me, we have a gluten-free option today. So please avail yourself of that. I'm going to ask you when you come up, we'll come up and receive the elements. I'm going to ask you to hold them, if you would, and we'll partake together. So I would ask, and maybe we can do that by rows in front row, we can come up and receive elements, and then we'll partake of those together. So go ahead and come. Thank you. Praise God for what he's done. Without the sacrifice that Jesus made, we would have no hope. 1 Corinthians 11 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's partake together. Father, we thank you today for the blessing of being able to know you and know that when you look at us, you see Jesus because of the sacrifice that he made. And Father, we're so thankful. We're so grateful. Make it real as we remember again today. Make it real once again in our hearts, Lord. The sacrifice that you made so that we could have relationship with you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Devin, would you help me set the table back? Thank you. And while you're here, I'm going to ask you, and Dakota, would you mind bringing that whiteboard over? And I'm going to use the side that's facing out. Thank you. You can turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12 if you have your scriptures with you. And yeah, that's the way it is. And if we could put it on the other side so it doesn't block the projector. Thank you, guys. And I'm humming. I have a feeling it's the bass cabinet that I'm standing in front of. Wherever it went. There was another, the handheld mic. Aha. And it's mostly off. Aha. Okay, so we're going to be looking today in Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. Now one of the scribes had come up and heard their debate, as they always seem to have debates with Jesus. Noticing how well Jesus had answered them, he asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus replied, "This is the most important. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray that you would help us as we look to be able to lay hold of the truth that you have for us. Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. Help us, Lord, as we look into this today in Jesus' name. I also had another verse that I want to look at alongside this. But you'll notice that Jesus says two things. Number one, what is the most important thing? The number one most important thing of all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, there is no relationship on earth that is more important than that one. That is number one, nothing else can supersede that. And then he said, number two, love your neighbor as yourself. So he's actually talking about two relationships. And we're going to look for a little bit at those two relationships. And I would call them love relationships. John 15, verse 9, and I'll just, oh, I guess we have it. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So again, Jesus is saying, abide in my love. Remain in my love. Remain in me this way. And then he says, I commandment to love one another. So we have two relationships. One of them is vertical, this way. And the other relationship is horizontal, this way. And they are not independent of each other. This relationship has a lot to do, has everything to do with this relationship, and this relationship has a lot to do with this one. They are not They are not independent in any way. The vertical relationship, John 17:3, Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So in other words, eternal life is knowing God, knowing Jesus. It's relationship. That's what eternal life, the easiest definition of it is knowing God. You know God, you have eternal life. The horizontal relationship. Colossians 3:12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against any, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So we are called to love God and to love people. Love God and love people. That's all. That's easy, isn't it? Yeah, easy, easy peasy. And here's just how important that commandment is. We want to win the world for Jesus Christ. I hope that your heart pound beats for that. We want to see people saved. What is the first step in evangelism? Is it finding people and preaching the gospel to them? Is it having the best tract? I finally found the best tract. Here, read this and you'll get saved. Is it having another program? Is it teaching on evangelism? Is it a proper way to present evangelism or present the gospel? John 17:20-21. I am not asking on behalf of them alone. This is Jesus praying. But also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. So, in other words, one of the keys to reaching the world with the gospel is you have to love the brethren. I have to love the brethren. We have to be in a place where we are in right relationship with each other. If you want to reach the world, Jesus said, love each other, and they're going to know. Something happens when the body of Christ starts to click. Something happens. It's called, there's a spiritual power that's not there when our hearts aren't right with each other. John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you also must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. That is a huge key. You want to preach the gospel to people, make sure you love God's people. That is a big deal. And we can pray and believe God for a harvest of souls and to do mighty works and all, but we have to have our hearts right with our brothers and sisters as a prerequisite. Now, what does this look like? Well, I like to look back at the early church. So let's look in Acts chapter 2. And if you are around me very much, you'll find out very quickly that I use lots and lots and lots of scripture. So either we put it up on the screen, or I ask you to go flip, flip, flip. We're always going to be doing a lot of turning in the scriptures. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. A sense of awe came over everyone, and the apostles performed many signs and wonders. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they shared with anyone who was in need. With one accord, they continued to meet daily in the temple courts and to break bread from house to house, sharing their meals with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Just a little bit of background on this. This was on the day of Pentecost, and the disciples had come out and they had begun speaking in tongues, and everybody came from were hearing them speaking the wonderful works of God, and Peter began to preach to them. They all ran together to see it, and Peter begins to preach the word to them. This was the Jewish festival of Shavuot. If you look in Exodus 23, it's also known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of First Fruits. This is one of the Jewish festivals where it was a festival of pilgrimage. The Jews were supposed to come to Jerusalem. And at this time, Bible scholars estimate that the population of Jerusalem was probably like 100,000 people or so. But at these festival times, it would swell to just an enormous number. They estimated that at Shavuot there could have been almost 900,000 people in Jerusalem, a huge number of people. And so Peter preaches and conviction falls. You know, when the Holy Spirit's moving, it's always accompanied by conviction. And they people said they were cut to their hearts. They, what do we do? And he preaches the gospel to them, and 3,000 people get saved. Can you imagine if one of you went out today and a huge crowd came and 3,000 people got saved? We'd rejoice and we'd pull our hair out at the same time. It's like, what do we do with all these people? Here's the new church. They were totally, totally unprepared for kaboom, 3,000 people. What on earth were they going to do with 3,000? How do you disciple 3,000 people? So what do you do? Well, what did they do? It said that they came together for teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted. They were there. They were hearing the word. It said, but they were devoted. They were there learning together. And that's a really important component to being together in the body, is learning together. They were devoted to the fellowship. That word fellowship, you've probably heard it before. It's the Greek word koinonia. It means partnership. It means community. There's a sense of reciprocal relationship. It's a give and a take. It's not just a give. That's why I hated the beginning of COVID when we were stuck at home and you had to watch your TV set. You can't have koinonia with a TV set. It doesn't work. Try and hug your TV. It's not nice. Try sharing a prayer request with your television. It doesn't pray back. You know, so we need to be in fellowship and partnership and that koinonia, where there's a give and a take, where we give, where we receive. That is a big deal. Breaking of bread. Some of the scholars think this is just the Lord's Supper, like what we just shared. But later on, it says, verse 46, that with one accord, they continued to meet daily and break bread from house to house, sharing their meals. Well, yeah, there was 3,000 of them, and most of them were probably pilgrims who came from somewhere else, and they get saved, and they decided to stay. They didn't even have a house. They didn't have any place to eat. What are they going to do? So they started meeting in people's houses. They got together. They shared meals. They fellowshipped. Can I encourage you? I don't want to... get together with your brothers and sisters. Invite people over if you can. Invite somebody out for a cup of coffee. Go for a walk with them. Get together with the people of God. When you get together with people, you get to know them in a different way than you get to know them in church or just casually, right? You get to know people differently. And you get to hear their testimony. It's exciting. You get to find out how they got saved. You can pray for each other. There's a fellowship there. I can't encourage you enough. Find ways. Be intentional. Be proactive. Invite people to your home. I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm not trying to tell you to invite me to your home. I'm not looking for a free meal. Please understand that. But be intentional and find people in the body. Maybe find somebody that you don't know very well. Invite them over. Share a meal. Get to know them. Fellowship with them. It's a big deal. Prayer. It says that they to the fellowship and breaking of bread and to prayer. Praying together. You know, we can pray alone, but probably do all the time. But what did Jesus say? Matthew 18:20, for where two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst. Two or three or more. So in other words, there's something about the presence of God that's different when we get together and we pray than when we're just by ourselves. We found that out Wednesday night. Those two testimonies about jaw healing, that was Wednesday night prayer meeting. If you're not here for Wednesday night, you're missing out. I want to tell you, 2 weeks, supernatural things happening in those meetings. Come to Wednesday night prayer. It's awesome. It is awesome. God is moving, and come expecting, just as you would hear. I have to put in that commercial. And we had a great turnout Wednesday night. It was awesome. We had a lot of people. So God is at work. So we need each other. We need each other. We cannot reach the world without each other. We cannot do the work and the ministry of Christ without each other. And that is a big deal. And I wanted to share with you something today because, you know, God's creation mirrors His truth. I hope you can see this, people on the other side. God's creation mirrors His truth. I spent a lot of years as a piano tuner. And part of my training was in acoustics. And that's the study of sound waves and how sound waves work. And when you tune a piano, you may or may not know, the upper range on a piano, each note that you play on a key, the hammer strikes three different strings, and they all have to be tuned to exactly the same pitch. A sound wave travels like something like this. If you remember your old high school physics class, maybe this will bring back some memories or some nightmares, depending on which it was. But this is how a sound wave travels. And when a technician is going to tune those three strings, he needs to tune them so that they are exactly at the same pitch. And the classic sound of a really out-of-tune piano, that sound that we all love so much, sets my teeth on edge, is when the pitches are not quite exactly in sync with each other. And then we get these little conflicting points. We get a spot here, they overlap, and that's where you hear that. And when you get three of them, oh, that's a real joy, where they're just not together at all. And suddenly you've got all of these points of conflict where the sound waves are bumping into each other, and it creates what we call beats, or this beating. And we call this, in piano technicians' terms or in acoustics, this is called destructive interference. And when that happens, there is a secondary effect. Not only do you get these awful points of conflict happening within those sound waves, but the amplitude or the volume or the amount of that sound wave is negated. Instead of having this, which each of the waves has, it ends up being more like that. Much of the sound is negated. It does not create a powerful wave. Now, we also have something in acoustics where we have pitches that are in sync with each other. You have a couple and they're together, And when the sound waves all line up, two things happen. First of all, not only do they match so that there's no points of conflict, but this is what happens. You get what is called constructive interference. And in other words, not only do those sound waves line up, but now they amplify each other, and you get this big sound. And I remember tuning people's pianos, and I'd be done, and I'd get those notes lined up, and they'd listen, and they'd say, "Oh, it sounds like a new piano. It's so different." Well, that's because things are lined up, and all of a sudden, we've got this amplifying effect. So not only is there a lack of conflict in that sound, but there's an amplification. How does that concept bear out in the scriptures? Ooh, I got ahead of myself in my notes. Leviticus 26:8, God told them, 5 of you will chase 100. 100 of you will chase 10,000. There's a multiplicative, exponential change when this is happening. All of a sudden, there's God moving in power in a different way. When our hearts are right, when we get in tune with our brothers and sisters, and that is why we need each other. We really, really need each other. And, oh, the wonderful body of Christ. The body of Christ is a really wonderful thing until it isn't. The problem comes when the wonderful body of Christ is not so wonderful, and instead of this, we have this. All these little points of conflict where things are not working. And that's why we have Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Why would we need forgiveness unless there was going to be a problem? The scripture says a brother is born for adversity. Oh boy. Because God knows that we are imperfect people. James 3:2 says, "For in many ways we offend all." Boy, isn't that the truth? If you hang around me for very long, I can guarantee eventually I am going to offend you. I will do something or say something, and probably contrarywise, if we hang around very long, you might say or do something that really offends me. My wife and I are married. We love each other. But yesterday I was trying to fix her washer, and I'm working to get this washer fixed, and the floor underneath was bad, so I went down in the basement. The wet, damp, muddy basement, and I'm working down there, and what do? I walk back upstairs with my nice, muddy feet, and I walk into her nice, clean kitchen that she had washed the floor. And my wife followed the scriptural pattern. She came to me and told me about the problem herself. Oh, yeah. And she did not have to find another brother or sister to come with her a second time. I repented. Yeah, no, it wasn't. It wasn't great. Oh. But dealing with offenses in the body in the right way is just so important. It is so incredibly important. Matthew 18:15. I think I have that. I don't know. Do I have that, Adam? I do. I don't. Well, Matthew 18:15-17, excuse me. If your brother sins against you, go and confront him privately. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Can I say that I have no data to back this up. I'm just, nah, don't go there yet. That's all right. I sent you hunting. I don't think I put that one on a slide. Dare I say, like 95% of the time, it ends right there. You go to them, you work it out, it's done. You don't have to go drag somebody else with you and confront them. You don't have to haul them in front of the church. Most of the time, we're done. Let's go and talk. Figure it out. Now, I worked at a school a while ago where if someone had a problem, oh, the administration did something that an employee didn't like. The employee, there was this thing that was going on, and the employees, guess what they did? They opened up their email, and they wrote a flame email, and they typed it up, and then they clicked send all, and they sent it to everybody in the district. Now, rather than go and deal with it with a person, now they've taken their issue and sprayed it on everybody who didn't know that there was anything going on, and now all of a sudden a whole bunch of people have gotten their hearts on, what's going on? It was horrible, and that happened. We had email flame wars going on at this school, and it was so bad for morale, and it just seemed to happen all the time. Now, the school that I'm at now, we have a superintendent who is a Christian. And now he does not say it as scripture, but he keeps bringing it up. Once or twice a year to the entire school body, he says, if you have a problem with somebody, go to that person. Don't go to your email. Don't run across the hall and talk to your colleague about it. Go and resolve it. And I've got to say, what a pleasure it is to work at that school. It is so different. Having been at one district where the flame wars are going on and the other district where people are encouraged to settle things night and day. It is absolutely night and day. And, you know, why is it that when we have a problem with people, we are tempted to not go to them? It's this fear. It's fear. Who wants to go and have to talk and confront somebody? Who like, if you like confrontation, then you need to teach a class at the church and help the rest of us, because I do not like confrontation. And I've had to do it a whole bunch of times. It's just not fun. But that doesn't absolve us from what God says is the pattern. If somebody sins against you, you know, at school, if something happens and I don't like it, the worst thing I can do is go across the hall and say, hey, you know, did you hear about sin? And then they look at me and they go, oh, yeah. And then it's like spreading COVID, you know. It's like you go in somewhere and cough all over everybody. How's that for being culturally relevant? And we don't need that. We absolutely, positively do not need that. So can I encourage you to make me and the rest of the body accountable on that fact? If somebody comes to you and they start to share something, a problem or something they have with someone, can you just politely say, have you talked to them? You don't have to say, I don't want to hear that, you gossip. You know, I mean, that's what it turns into. If you come to somebody and you start talking and you haven't gone to the person, that's gossip. And the scripture doesn't have a whole lot of nice stuff to say about gossips. You look at the book of Proverbs, it's not a happy thing. If someone comes to a complaint, can you gently remind them to go to the source? And if I start crabbing about something, you can gently remind me to go to the source. And I might remind you. But you know who really likes that? The devil really likes that kind of thing. He is called the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12:10 calls him the accuser of the brethren. And that's a whole other sermon on itself. But the accuser of the brethren. You know, Satan accuses people in a lot of different ways. He will accuse you to yourself. He will remind you of all the awful things that you ever did or that you never did but you thought about. He's really, really good at accusing you of things. He is also very willing to accuse other people to you. You ever had that happen? You're at church and brother so-and-so, you say, hi, how are you? And they say, oh, hi, and they run out the door. And the devil says, they don't want to talk to you. They don't like you. They think you have bad breath. All of that can happen. Now, that's a silly analogy, but, you know, the devil wants to drop little seeds of discord in your mind, just a little thought, just a little thing, and accuse somebody to you or accuse you to someone else. And his job is to bring accusation to destroy relationships. That's what it is. Destroy relationships. What is our job in Christ? Our job is to build relationships. It's to build bridges, if I could say it that way. And when we have that as our ministry goal, suppose I want to have a relationship with my friend Devin here. Well, Devin, I can build my half of my bridge to you. Now, I could try to come all the way over and build the whole thing, and you might not like that very much. Like, ooh, get out of my space. Well, and he has a choice in that. Relationships are a choice. So I can build my half of the bridge to you, and I can stand at my half and, hey, Devin, and I can wave to Devin, and he chooses to build his half of the bridge to me. And in relationships, it's very, very important that we understand that we always have our bridge out and open. And I want to tell you, I don't want to go too much longer, but Brother Tom Brazell did that to me, and that's why I am here today. A while ago, Brother Tom built his bridge out to me, and he was standing at the end waving to me, hey, Dave, and I'm over on the shore looking, thinking. He sent me an email, very, very encouraging. He just said, I'd love to get together with you. I'd like to talk and visit. Nothing official. Let's just get together and fellowship. And I thought, So I tossed out a couple bricks and saw stuff it would hold me, and I built a few more. I finally came out, and we got together. I had always wished, because I was not in this church for the last 5 years, and when we left, we were kind of hurting. And I always wished that somebody would say, just come and say, Dave, how are you? How are you? I'm making accusations like somebody should have, you should have done this. But I just wish somebody would say, how are you? And they say, Dave, what happened? And I sat with Tom Brazell, and the first thing he said was, Dave, how are you? First words out of his mouth. And I share with him, and then he said, tell me what happened. Which just, brother, thank you for letting the Lord use you in that way. That bridge that you built to me is the reason that I'm standing here today. That's the reason that I'm here. Because God used, this man availed himself to be used by God to build a bridge to me. And that's why I'm here. And you know what? A whole bunch of people have left this church. Lots of people have gone. Can I encourage you to make sure that in your heart you're right and you can build that bridge out to them and then make it attractive. Wave to people, you know, hey, I'm here. Put out a bench at the end of your bridge. Put out some flowers. Make it nice. Be inviting. You know, people know if by looking at you if your bridge is open. And sometimes it's real easy if your heart isn't right to have a sign right out at the edge of your bridge that says bridge closed. You know how they know it? It looks like this. Dries up a conversation real quick. And I've made it my business to go around, I'm meeting with lots of people who have left the church. And I'm asking those two questions. How are you? What happened? Now, I don't know if these people will ever come back here or not. That's not the issue. Restored relationship, having your heart right, being able to fellowship with people. Yeah, but you know what they did? You know, they were really a jerk. Well, what were we? What were we before Jesus forgave us? What kind of jerks were we before Christ? What did Jesus do for the people? Jesus hung on a cross and had people spit at him. I'm willing to take a little bit, you know, and to be willing to have people come and share. And I'm listening, and some of the things they say, I'm like, oh yeah, I understand. And somebody, I don't understand that, but that's okay. And you know, when you go through a breaking of relationship, it's a trauma. It's just like a physical injury. You know, if your arm pops out of the socket, you know, the arm hurts like crazy, and the rest of the body doesn't look at it and say, well, if you weren't so stupid and pulled on that, it wouldn't have happened. No, the rest of the body's going, it hurts. Both sides hurt. And when somebody's in trauma and they're laying on the gurney and they need help, the last thing you do is walk up to them and say, well, that's what you shouldn't have been driving 95 miles down the road, you idiot. You know, you can't say that to them. But you say, let me help you. Let's work on this. And then, you know, once you have your relationship, Devin and I, we've built a great relationship. He's met me halfway. Then if I need to talk to Devin about something, I'm just making it up. Then I've got this nice strong bridge and I can get into my tank. And I can drive my tank over that bridge. And if I need to talk to Devin about something, boom! Well, I would never do that to you. But, you know, if you build a good relationship, then... I can say that to you because you know I'm kidding. If we build a good relationship, then iron can sharpen iron. And we can... what is it? I can't say it. Precious are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. When people come and speak good things to us. And when you have a relationship, you can do that. I want to encourage you, if there are people in the family of God, we have to find a way to love them. We have to find a way to love them here. We have to find a way to love them out there. But if they're Christian people, they don't believe what I believe. If they're a Christian, you have to find a way to love them. 1 John 4:20, if any man claims to love God but hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. How can you say that you love God whom you haven't seen and you don't love your brother whom you can see? So I want to encourage you, be a bridge builder. Be a person who is a restoration hearted. Ephesians 4:23, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, always reaching out, always having the sign out at the end of your half that says, bridge open, and see what God does. See what God does. Father, we thank you today that your heart is always for the lost sheep. It said you would leave 99 to go and find the one that wandered off, Lord. And Father, how you desire for your body to work together for that constructive interference, Lord, for that amplification. And Father, how it must grieve the Spirit of God when we are at odds with brothers and sisters. And God, you know, and Father, we're people and we get our feelings hurt and there are things that happen. But Father, help us. Help us to be people who are willing to love the way Jesus loved, sacrificially, making that sacrifice where we put ourselves out there at our own cost to restore fellowship to somebody else. or to reach somebody who doesn't even know you that needs to know Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are able to bring restoration, but help us, Lord. Help us especially with those people who are difficult. Lord, and even as I share this, I can think of a person or two that they've been hard for me. But God, Lord, you are able to help us and change us so that we are able to reach out and be used by you to bring restoration and fellowship. And God, we pray that you would increase our love for one another, that we'd be able to fellowship freely together, that we'd be able to love one another. Father, we need each other. God, in the time where COVID has robbed us over the last year of so much fellowship, God, we pray that you would help us to find ways to intentionally love one another, that the world will know that you have sent your Son. Oh, God, we thank you for it. We thank you for your grace. It's only by your grace we can do it, in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you want prayer, it would be our privilege to pray for you. We are a church that believes in healing, deliverance, salvation. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, we would love to introduce you. He can become the new love of your life. He can wash you of your sins and give you a new life. If you have any other needs for prayer, we would love to have you come today. If not, you're free to go. God bless you. Have a great week. But we also invite you to stay and pray for anyone that wants to come and believe God to use you in that way as well. God bless you. Have a good week. If you want prayer, please come.